Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Greg, let's get into the madness, the chaos that is the college football playoff ranking.
Well, you know, every Tuesday when the college football committee, playoff committee, comes together, they talk to ESPN after the game. Most of the time it's Ward Manuel. You know, they talk a lot about what they see every week, the games they play, this team beat that team. And I really wonder, how much objectivity do they use? Does the committee use any math? Who's the, quote, numbers guy? Could they use one? I mean, I know a guy.
Okay.
That's just a suggestion.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But seriously, I think objectivity could be a huge benefit to them if they were to have that.
Yes. Agree.
So the rankings, number one, remaining at number one, is Oregon at 11-0. Champions of passive income. They had the bye last week, but Boise State, Oregon State, Ohio State, Illinois, Michigan State, Michigan, all won. It keeps the Ducks at a clear number one. Number two, the Ohio State University. They were neck and neck with Indiana going into last week. OSU was 6, Indiana was 5. The win separates the two and vaults OSU up now to number 2. Narrowly behind the Buckeyes is number 3, Notre Dame.
Oh.
Now, Army adds another 9-win income stream for the Irish. Don't forget that Georgia Tech win gets better every week. And what you're seeing with Notre Dame is that the wins are outweighing that NIU loss. To the last of the top four, number 4, we've got the Texas Longhorns. The Oklahoma and the Florida wins are giving them a boost, with those two teams scoring upset home wins this past weekend. They are playing at Texas A&M this weekend in the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Mm.
We are going back to Texas A&M for the 4th time this season. The kingmakers of college football.
You
the
love
Aggies.
Yourself some Aggies.
Well, they've been in pivotal swing games all season.
Yeah.
Notre Dame in week one. They've had so many of these big games.
LSU, Missouri
yes.
early on. Look, Greg Palm might be opening up a field office in College Station. Great to have this rivalry game back, featuring two of the most maniacal fan bases in college football. The winner plays Georgia in the SEC title game. It's a de facto SEC semifinal
yep.
in this rivalry game. To the middle third, number 5 is SMU, 10-1. They clinched a spot in the ACC title game. The BYU loss, it's getting a little leaky for them, but don't forget that Louisville win, big for them. It opens up wins against Pitt and Clemson as well. So a good income stream for SMU. Number 6 is Penn State. One win away from a preseason fear coming to fruition. Go 11-1 and still be left out of the Big Ten championship game. And the question to them is that to their benefit?
Right.
It's another James Franklin Lane Kiffin comp.
Yes, exactly.
The playoff was built for James Franklin to finish 3rd in his conference and get a home playoff game.
Yeah.
And then possibly lose that in another
of
big
course,
game.
Of course, of course.
Number 7 is Miami. They're still in good shape. The Syracuse game at the JMCA, whatever it is, dome. It's no longer the Carrier Dome. Still the Carrier Dome in my book.
Yes.
Yep.
Big win for them. Syracuse got 8 wins, by the way. They're kind of sneaking around here in the late teens of Greg Palm. Didn't make the top 12, but Syracuse is going to be a tricky game for Miami. Number 8 is Indiana. Now, despite the OSU loss, they still have 10 wins playing in the Big Ten. Now, the question for them is, we brought this up earlier, have they topped out? When we introduced this new methodology of Greg Palm, they started at number 2. Then they had a bye week. They dropped down to number 5. Lost to Ohio State. Down to 8. Now, it's not a huge demerit
yeah.
to lose to Ohio State, but you're not getting those Ohio State wins collected. Next week, they're hosting Purdue. It's going to be an empty calorie win against Purdue. It's not going to add much to them. So they'll stay put, but are the teams going to add more to their resume and leapfrog past them?
And to your point, this will be something we watch for tonight with the committee. How much does Indiana get punished for what is referred to as a good loss if they were an SEC team? Right? Losing to the number two team in America would be seen as, well, we're not going to punish them too much.
Right, it's a good loss.
Sure. I kind of cringe at good losses, but it is a thing.
Speaking of losses, number nine, Alabama. They are still in the rankings at 8-3. Now, here's the thing. They have the most weighted losses out of any team in the top 15, not just the top 12. However, they have the most weighted wins out of anybody outside of the top four. So, kind of like Notre Dame, the wins are outweighing the losses as much as they do have. Remember, powerhouse wins. Georgia, South Carolina, Missouri. There's another one out there in the SEC. I don't quite recall, but they have four SEC wins, but they're really racking these SEC wins up pretty well. These are not Mississippi States of the world that they're beating in conference. These are huge wins for Alabama. That's why they're still hanging around at number nine. Numbers are saying that. Number 10 is Boise State. Winning narrowly, but winning keeps them up here. They're going to play a game against two-pac champion Oregon State coming up this week in Boise. By the way, speaking of that, one of the underrated fun games of the season last week was Oregon State-Washington State before that Pac-12 championship game.
Yes.
Number 11 is Georgia. Look, non-conference week did no favors to the entirety of the SEC this week, but Georgia can still make up for that with a win against the aforementioned Georgia Tech this week.
Big game.
That is in Athens, so a big week for Georgia with the SEC title game looming. Number 12, here's where the kicking and screaming comes in. BYU. Now, you're going to say, what about Arizona State?
They beat them head-to-head. Yes.
Exactly. So, look, one would say that, well, Arizona State should have a tiebreaker against BYU.
Yes.
That is generated from a faulty assumption that the two teams are tied. The two teams aren't at tied. BYU's loss to Arizona State and Arizona State's win against BYU is baked already into their resumes. Arizona State, I will tell you, is right behind BYU in the undercurrent of teams looking to get back into the top 12. Arizona State's losses are 4 loss Texas Tech and 6 loss Cincinnati. BYU still has the SMU win in their back pocket, and the Kansas loss did not get any worse this past week when they beat Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for practicality's sake, you could rank BYU ahead of Arizona State, but Arizona State is in the driver's seat to win the Big 12, and that's where we get to the automatic bid portion of this.
Yes.
Where Arizona State winning out puts them in the college football playoff. And you can say that for a lot of teams, which is what I like about this system is
you keep winning, you're
going to keep playing, and no one can tell you you're not the national champion until you lose.
But you keep winning as a conference champion.
Yes.
And if you're that you're in 2 or 3, not losses, but in terms of position in the conference
then you did it to yourself at that point.
Yeah.
You know? The one that I will be kicking and screaming about is Alabama. And I know metrically, Greg, you've done a good job assessing just how important their wins are.
7-win LSU was the other one I was just forgetting.
But okay, that's who they beat LSU as well. Bama has 3 losses. I have a hard time if they were to get in over 2-loss Tennessee, who beat them head-to-head. Like, I think Tennessee in the actual rankings tonight will be the biggest winner from the weekend. And they didn't have a big win. They avoided the catastrophic loss that we saw so many other teams suffer.
So I'm curious. So Boise State, the eye test to me, I know that they're 10-1. The eye test to me says they're just not as good. I mean, I know that they've lost by a field goal. Their one loss is to Oregon, who is now the number one team in the country. But I think Oregon is maybe the most improved team over the course of this college football season. The way that Dylan Gabriel has progressed in that offense, the way that they're calling the plays for Dylan Gabriel, I think is important. They're going to get in if they win the Mountain West. I just don't know that they're a number 10 team.
The other thing I'll watch for tonight is how Texas and Indiana are ranked by the committee. Texas does not have a top 25 win. Indiana does not have a top 25 win. They both have one loss. Pretty epic loss, right? Texas lost at home by 15 points to Georgia. Indiana lost on the road by three scores to Ohio State. I think those two teams should be ranked close.
Wait, you say they don't have a top 25 win?
Texas. Who's Texas' top 25 win? Am I missing somebody?
Are we talking about ranked at the time?
I'm saying in the current rankings.
In the current rankings, no. But ranked at the time.
I care little about at the time. I care about at the benefit of 10-plus weeks of football, who is actually good and who is not.
Yeah. It does matter at the time, though. The committee will make it matter at the time.
Maybe. I mean, it's always subjective.
I know. Like,
so who was ranked at the time, just so I'm not missing somebody? Who's Texas' big win?
I'm not going to say there's a big win.
Michigan was ranked at the time.
Ranked at the time, yes.
Okay.
Oklahoma was ranked at the time. Vanderbilt was ranked at the time.
And to be clear, these are all six-win teams today.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So, Indiana has beaten a bunch of six-win teams as well. I will be curious if the committee ranks Indiana and Texas in a similar pod. You could put Texas ahead, but similar in ranking.
Just for context, I'm curious, where is Clemson in the Greg Palm?
Clemson is in the undercurrent. They're along with Arizona State, Iowa State.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say
Louisville
about Iowa
is
State.
Right behind them, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually like undercurrent for the word choice for the teams just outside. Because Tom didn't like bubble preseason. We had fringe. I kind of like undercurrent. They're right there below.
They're like when you break through the surface, that's getting in the playoff field.
You get some air. You're breathing. You're in. I like that. And that is Greg Palm. It's 97.1.